Hello, this is the Celtic Underground podcast, a football fans podcast that has been the world's longest running football fans podcast, and we are back. I've been trying to get Lackey Moore on the podcast really since the Lazio games, but the nature of modern technology down to Lackey's boat or wherever he is always picks up my messages 3 days after I've asked him to come on. Anyway, so with that delay, Lackey will be on to discuss European fixtures. But we need to get a podcast up and running. So as I say, we need to get the podcast up and running, and can't keep hanging about for Lackey Moore. So Lackey and I will do a review of the European performances against Lazio, Rennes, and hopefully a preview of the Cluj, and not a review of the Cluj game. But before that, today we played Ross County, Thumping them 4-1. So picked up Skype, contacted Anthony Murray, and we reviewed the game. So this is me, Harry the Baby, with him, Anthony Murray. So we are recording this just about an hour since the final whistle against Ross County. So I'm joined by Anthony Murray. Did you enjoy the game?
Did, yeah. Ultimately by the end when we win the game, which is obviously all that matters. It's a strange thing. It's a strange time to be a Celtic fan, I think, because we're so close to history and things that matter. Every game really matters.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like more than ever before. Maybe the year we stopped the 10, it felt like that. But the fact that we are pushing towards history ourselves, it really does feel like every 3 points is worth celebrating.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I mean, we've said in this podcast before, you don't need to be better than Celtic to put in a title challenge to Celtic. You just need to be better than everybody else in the league, and you'll stay close enough on our coattails. But you just don't want, because even the members of the press who are not Rangers fans, they just want a fresh thing to write about. It gets a bit boring 9 years in a row saying Celtic are by far the best team in Scotland, right?
Yeah.
So there's just nothing that I want to give them any advantage for being ahead of us in the league. And so you're now even just watching thinking, right, that's great. That means they need to score 7 goals today to go ahead of us in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, hopefully, I'm pretty confident that when we get to New Year, we'll be more than 3 points ahead of them. But that other element of you're saying you're so close to history, it's that thing of you just don't want them to be given any false confidence shot in the arm by being top of the league by a goal or whatever.
Yeah.
So what did you think of the team? Team was pretty much Thursday night's team with Rogic in for Ncham and Frimpong in for Bauer. So what did you make of that?
Frimpong is obviously, you know, he would have been playing the other night had it not been for the fact he's not even in the European squad. So not a major surprise that Frimpong came back. We're at that stage with Rogic where only with games will he get good enough to deserve selection. You know, it's a catch-22, isn't it? He doesn't deserve selection without showing that he's good, but he's not going to, you know, which is a really tough one. But I like Rogic, so, you know, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. In reality, what I'm realising now is that if it's detrimental to Christie and Forrest to shoehorn Rogic into the team, you don't shoehorn Rogic into the team. Because I think Forrest has spent a decade becoming an excellent right winger.
Mm-hmm.
Why now turn him into a mediocre left winger?
Yeah.
It's illogical.
That's exactly what I was thinking on Thursday night as he's running down the left wing and he's cutting, you know, he's going in and he's putting crosses on his left foot, but the crosses are not great. And I'm, you're thinking to yourself, well, this is all because we want to get certain players in the team and Christie's going wide right and Forrest going wide left.
And at this point, it should be right. Christie, you're the best guy in the 10. Forrest, you're the best guy on the right. Whoever's down the left is the guy that's down the left. And then you've got an argument. Obviously, if El Yunusi's fit, some people would prefer him. I personally go with Johnston. I'm told Team Mikey Johnston. He'd be my first choice every time. But then it would be, all right, sorry, Ncham, sorry, Rogic, you're down the left. You know, that's, deal with it. I'm sure, you know, away at Ross County, they'd be more than capable of doing it.
I mean, I'm loath to slate any Celtic player, but can you think of a game that was a real top quality game that Rogic has played this season or last?
I'm sure there's been one. I'm sure he's done something big time.
No, I mean, but that's one of my points. I mean, I was in WhatsApp group today and, you know, people were saying, I think Rogic needs to come off and Johnston on, and then Rogic scores. And my point is, but he's a midfielder. You know, you can put up just about with a striker that does bugger all game but puts the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can put up even with a midfielder that does a bugger all game and we win the game 1-0 with a last-minute winner. But in general, a midfielder's job is to contribute through the 90 minutes.
And by that logic, I'd say that's why Morgan justified his reselection. Because he played the other night as a striker and he scored a goal. So if a striker scores, don't take him out. And obviously, if Edouard's out injured or whatever, then you can give him another run out. It does slightly annoy me. I literally, before we got recording, I just watched the YouTube video of Griffith's 40-goal season.
Uh-huh.
I think as the Dyla years were kind of crap, people forget what was good about them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Griffiths was absolutely great Celtic player at the peak of his powers. I think Nir Beaton was a very good Celtic player. I'd like Beaton to get more minutes. But yeah, Griffiths must be annoyed that I think if Morgan hadn't scored the other night, Griffiths probably might have started today, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I genuinely, like, I've seen people on Twitter talking about, oh, you know, do we need to sign a striker in the summer? Or in January, I don't think we need to. Do you know what I mean? We're not going to get someone better than Griffiths.
No, but the problem then is, how far away does Neil Lennon think Griffiths is from being good enough to start when he'd rather play Morgan on Thursday night and today? I mean, today is understandable because Morgan scored on Thursday night, but how far away is Griffiths from being a first-team starter when he'd rather, a guy who's not a striker and is struggling to get into our team start in the number nine position ahead of him?
Did you see the goals the other week when Celtic's youth or reserves pummeled someone? You know, they put like 7, 8, or 9 past some team.
Oh, it was Stenhouse Muir, I think it was.
That's what it was.
Six, yeah.
But like the goals Griffiths was scoring in that were just, some of them were ridiculous. You know, he's just getting the ball 20 yards out and smashing it in the top corner. You know, Griffiths is a goal machine. And obviously that's against a pub team. But at the end of the day, if you're just striking a ball well and your confidence is up, obviously you have to contribute a lot more, you know, linking it up and all that stuff. But the five players surrounding our striker are so good right now. Really, you just need a focal point to put the ball in the net, surely.
Well, the other aspect of that is strikers, natural strikers, make slightly different runs and take up slightly different positions on the park than a wide player or a number 10 slipping into the striker's role.
And, yeah.
You know, much as Morgan did well on Thursday night and did well again today, there's just going to be different positioning and different runs with a natural striker up front. And so people saying, you know, I joked that that's us scored 7 goals in 2 games without Edouard. So if somebody comes in with a bid for him in January, obviously we should take it. You know?
Yeah,
but the reality is, Well, one, I think we need to sign it. I do think we need to sign a striker if Lennon's not sure about Griffiths. The other reason I think we should sign a striker in January is because we fully expect decent offers to come in for Edouard in the summer, and so I'd like to sign a striker in January. I mean, what's your thoughts on Bio, who's currently out injured?
Unimpressed. Not good enough. Like, not going to kick on and be a Dembele or a Edouard.
Or even a Griffiths.
I always loved Griffiths after his, blowout season at Hibs. You know, when he scored, he had a 28-goal season at Hibs. So even before he went to Wolves, I wanted Celtic to sign Lee Griffiths. And then he went down to Wolves and did okay, then fell out with the manager or something. And then he ended up back at Celtic. You know, that was in January, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was January, yeah.
Yeah. So I was really pleased when Griffiths came. And, you know, from my point of view, he's never let us down. He scored loads of goals. Whereas Bayou scored a few goals in a pretty, limited league, which is the Slovak league. You know, there's not a lot of good players there, So Bayou, I wouldn't have a lot of faith in. Like I say, I've got faith in Griffiths. But like, if you were to tell me we were going to go and sign the Frimpong of centre forwards, go and pick up Man City's youth team centre forward, he's going to be good. If it's literally another Dembele or another Edouard, a top nation's youth striker, that guy should be pretty handy. Potentially.
So that's the team. So how did you think we started the game, and then what did you think of the penalty?
At first I thought it was really harsh. My first instinct was harsh, but then you saw the replays. I thought we started well, and it was kind of coming. We were dominating the game, and all our good players were playing well. And like I say, I thought the penalty was harsh first time I saw it, but then you saw it again. He got his toe in and took a whack in the ankle. That's a foul. Even if he's run away from goal, pointing in the wrong direction, whatever, he did catch him. And it was a penalty.
I actually thought it was the type of penalty that we regularly don't get. And you watch it back and you think, well, it's a Stonewall penalty because the guy wipes him out. Doesn't matter, as you say. They'll then start talking in the telly about, well, he was going away from goal and the ball wasn't at him. But it's irrelevant. He took him out.
Yeah. I thought it was quite a funny penalty miss in the sense that, obviously a lot of players have scored rebounds from their own penalty, but I've never seen someone score the rebound with such panache. Do you know what I mean? It looked like almost like he'd planned for it. Do you know what I mean? He had a bad penalty and then just, now I'll just sweep it into the empty net.
It was a pretty poor penalty and then puts it in the back of the net well.
But he wasn't panicking, it looked just like, all right, now, here we go. And then he just stepped on it and stuck in the empty net.
So once we score the penalty, the way the game got, I think just before the penalty, the stats came up on Sky that it was something like 75%, 25% possession. So you're just expecting us to go on and then win the game comfortably from there. But before I get to that, I've just remembered. So I was having a problem. I was watching on my iPad and I was having a problem with that just before the penalty on getting the picture. So I was listening to it on Radio Scotland. So the penalty I heard on Radio Scotland, and I have to say, and I'm not exaggerating, I think when I told people my dog died in March, I sounded less gutted than Rob McLean did. Oh, you wouldn't have known it was a penalty to Celtic. You just wouldn't have known listening to Radio Scotland. It was awful. He is just awful. Absolutely awful. Anyway, Ross County goal. So what did you make of that?
I was a sloppy defending, and I don't know, I don't want to blame Rogic, but I thought he was the one, because it was the guy between Brown and the guy between Rogic, wasn't it? I think on another day, maybe there would have been a VAR push maybe. Do you know what I mean? I think Rogic could have made the complaint that I was pushed there.
Well, in February, and this is, I hate doing private jokes on the podcast, but this is a private joke for St Anthony, Derek, and Eddie Pearson of Celtic Rumours. Apparently VAR will be in the Europa League in February at Celtic Park.
I heard that.
So, but it's interesting you say that, because there was a game, in one of the big games in the English Premiership last season, last week, and I can't think which one it was. There was a goal chopped off for an identical push.
Yeah.
Was it a Liverpool game? Don't know. Anyway, there was a goal chopped off for an identical push on Rogic. I thought Frimpong got caught the wrong side of the Ross County player.
Yeah.
And that's why he gives a foul away that then leads to it. But you're right. It was just one of those ones where it's the ball in the back of the net. You're just conscious that there was Julian, Rogic and Brown, and you knew that at least one of the three of them was at fault.
Yeah. I think what you'd want to see is Ayer or Julian just, you know, 7 feet, 9 feet in the air, battering it away like Balde or Van Dijk. But ultimately, if it beats them, it's, you know, you're relying on the other guys picking up the movers. And either whether he was fouled or whether he was just weak, you know, Rogic doesn't do well enough, and you know the guy just finishes it. But you know these things happen. But I mean, I think maybe I don't mind things like that happening if I think it's the shot in the arm your Ayers and your Julians need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it must be very easy to coast through a Celtic game when you're the centre half,
yeah,
and start to believe the hype. And then, and obviously these guys have done well against Lazio and Rennes and Cluj, but you could get complacent. I could understand that. So it's I don't think it's the worst thing that they let in silly goals. And then, you know, it gives Lennon justification to ball them out, basically.
Well, I think it's only human nature that if you have beaten Lazio home and away, bar a bad refereeing decision on a penalty, we'd be on 100% in the Europa League.
Yeah.
So when you're playing at that level, to then go up to Dingwall a couple of days later, I think it's only human nature that you may not be at your 100% level that you could be. In fact, I would say the performance in the second half today is a real testament to how professional the current Celtic team is. So Christie then gets the second goal. What do you make of that?
I think one thing we didn't mention before the penalty, even Christie hit that free kick,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was outrageous, but not so outrageous that it shouldn't have been attempted, because I used to shoot from anywhere when I hit free kicks, and the fact that a lot of great players have scored from these angles before shows it's not impossible.
Yeah.
And I wonder, as soon as they got the free kick in that situation, just last week, Pjanic scored. No, it wasn't Pjanic. It was Dybala for Juventus scored basically that exact same goal. That hilarious thing where Cristiano Ronaldo misses a game, having missed 700 free kicks in a row.
Yeah.
And the first guy that takes one in his absence scores from the corner flag and is clearly the better man for the job. But yeah, I was wondering if I think you know, Christie's one of these young men that's really into his football, so he would have seen Dybala's goal and must have thought, oh, I'm gonna have a piece of that. You know, he probably tried it in training all week,
yeah.
And then nearly whacked in at the near post, you know, and just clipped the post. And that just shows you how high his confidence is at this point. So for his, and it's not just set pieces, you know, it's his movement, and his movement for the second goal was brilliant. You know, he'd be in a needs-must situation, I'd have no issue with playing Christie as the nine.
Do you know, that was the thing. When I saw the team on Thursday night, I assumed Morgan was on one side, Forrestner, and Christie would be through the middle.
Yeah.
I was surprised it was Morgan that was through the middle.
Yeah. Certainly for a domestic league game, you just wanted him to rack up some goals. You know, I think he could do that easily. And that second goal that he scored today was just like that. It was just a striker's goal, peeling off the defenders, and a lovely through ball by Ayer, was it?
Yeah.
And yeah, he just tucked it in the goals. Easy peasy.
Do you know what I thought it summed up? How deep Ross County were playing and how dominant we were. There was a bit in the second half where we had a corner and a Ross County player cleared the ball to about 35, 40 yards out. And it landed behind every Celtic player bar Fraser Foster because we were just playing so close to their goal. So, second half, we come out in the second half and then the man that we spent the first 5 minutes of the podcast in is disappointingly not good enough, pops up and scores the third goal.
It was a great goal. It was a great team goal where Morgan took the initiative of... I mean, that's the thing, he does. He is a decent player and his confidence raises, he will get better. But he took on his fullback, bombed down the left, cut it back. And I've never seen that double layoff before. You know, I've seen goals where there was a layoff and a dummy or a dummy and a layoff. But this was, they both touched it. Taylor's touch was lovely. His was the outs. He flicked it, didn't he, with a sort of back heel. And was it McGregor? Just did the other touch on, I think. And then, yeah, it falls to Rogic. He goes in with a deflection. But, I mean, that was a lovely goal. I really like Taylor. I was hoping Taylor would get his chance. Mm-hmm. And obviously he's only getting his chance because of ball and goalie's injury. But I could see, you know, if Taylor keeps doing what he's doing, I could see him staying in the team for the rest of the season.
Well, that was one of the things I was going to say at the end. When you look at some of the players who've stepped in, do you think Taylor will retain his place ahead of ball and goalie?
I'd hope so. I think Bolingoy had a couple of decent games and was starting to, show his, the reason we bought him. But I didn't see enough to think he's, it wasn't like, oh, this guy's better than Tierney.
Yeah.
We're not going to get a guy that's better than Tierney. But
yeah, but you know what? It's the point I kept making. Tierney's only a left back,
Yeah.
Left backs. You and I can play left back. I mean, Celtic have pretty much had people of you and I standard for most of my lifetime at left back.
Definitely. I like Taylor. And I guess I always like, pumping the team full of Scottish players. I like the idea that we've got an identity to us. I also like the idea that players are doing well in a Celtic strip. There's photographs of them in the internet in Rangers youth teams. I love that. There's nothing better than the fact that Scott Brown, there's photos of him in a Huns team. It's like, well, great. Now he's a Celtic legend. We can cleanse these people's souls, And if Taylor's... I noticed the other day, Taylor's one of them. Apparently, Morgan was on their books as well.
He was, yeah. Morgan was on theirs.
I couldn't find any photographic evidence of that, but I did find a picture of Taylor in a Huns youth team.
No, Morgan was in their setup as well, and they let him go, I think.
Yeah. Taylor did well to set up Rogic, and it wasn't the most prettiest finish, but I was pleased to see him score. And all you want him to do is do well.
So we then make it 3-1, and the game's safe. And then Mikey Johnson came on. Mark Cooper, whatever happened to him, he used to be on the podcast, was always raving about Mikey Johnson's twitchy feet. And that's what I like about him, because one of the things I always loved about Sean Maloney, he had quick, fast feet, so you always felt he was going to, even if it was a foul at the edge of the box, he was going to get something just because of those quick feet. So once again, second game in a row where Mikey Johnson has come on as a sub and within a few minutes of coming on has scored a great individual goal. So what did you make of his goal?
It was beautiful. He picked up the ball, just bombed at the fullback. He was full of confidence. Absolutely fearless. And it's weird. The style of player he is, I think parallels between McGeady and Maloney will get made. But I mean, I always got the impression with Sean Maloney that he kind of lacked. He'd low self esteem, there wasn't the gallusness that Johnston has.
Yeah.
You don't get the impression at all that Johnston doubts himself one bit, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems faster. I'd say he's faster. He's faster over distance than Maloney ever was. McGeady got fast, later on. You know, McGeady did a weird thing where he had the, you know, he burst into the team, then he went out of the team, then he came back, and then he was at Strachan's second season, he really kicked on.
Mm-hmm.
And by Strachan's third season, he was player of the year. But Johnston, I think he could outdo all of them. Just with his talent and his confidence. And then all he needs there is minutes. And at the start of the season, he was justifying that. You know, did he, was it away? Who did he score the great? Was it away in Romania? Was it away in Cluj, or was it away in, where was it?
No,
or Sarajevo?
I think it was in Sarajevo. I don't think it was in, yeah, it was Sarajevo. Yeah,
he scored a great goal away at Sarajevo. Yeah. But then he also, you know, he got the assist against the Huns at Ibrox, and he was contributing. You know,
Thursday night and today again. He looked a bit bigger to me than last season. Slightly taller, slightly broader. I mean, I'm not saying he's, you know, filled out in any way, but you can see he's still growing. Brendan Rodgers always used to use when he was talking about Mikey Johnson was maturation. You know, different players, people are, people's maturation levels are and stages are different. And once he's fully bulked out, as I say, I don't think he's going to suddenly become huge, but, you know, he might grow another inch or you know, broaden out a wee bit. I think he'll be a fantastic talent for us.
Yeah. I mean, you forget how much, you know, people do grow and change at mm-hmm. that age. Like, even if you look at, you know, you look at old highlights of when Rogic first made his debut. Do you know what I mean? He looks like a little boy.
Yeah.
You know, you don't really remember Rogic really radically changing, but he did.
Uh-huh.
And Tierney, you know, look at footage of Tierney in his debut. He's a skinny wee boy, you know. So if Johnston develops like that, I just think he needs the minutes, he needs the games. I'd have absolutely no issue with him starting a cup final next week. I'd almost want it.
Yeah, and if Edwards fit, which I don't know if they're 100% certainly will be fit by the way that Neil Lennon answered the question at the end of the... I certainly don't think Edward will be playing Wednesday night from the post-match interview that I saw on Sky, but if Edward is fit for the cup final, Johnson on the left, Forrest on the right, Christie is a number 10 and Edward up front, they'll not be able to live with that forward four.
Yeah, no chance. I mean, I'd bet on us with any of our variations, but that's the one I'd pick.
So, before we finish the Ross County game, they had a goal chopped off. So what did you make of it?
Remind me, sorry.
There was a guy, the ball was played through, and there was a guy in a standing in an offside position who wasn't the guy who then went and scored. For me, part of the problem, getting on to why I think he was offside, Julian sees the guy standing offside and just stands still. Oblivious to the fact that Ross County do have other players who can run through it. I think, do you know the only thing that go through my mind was because teams like Ross County play a lone striker so detached from the rest of the team, they're playing so deep as we talked about earlier. I think he thought, if that guy's there, the next player will be 20 yards further up the park, so yeah, I can just leave it. So what did you make of it?
So in one sense, I think that plays in what we were saying earlier about the potential complacency of Ayer and Julian. The fact that that goal was allowed to happen. But ultimately, you know, the guy that was offside was putting in a defensive block. You know, so he was involved, and therefore it wasn't a goal. It wasn't a goal. You know, the offside guy was involved in the block, so...
Yeah, I mean,
I don't feel guilty, but
that was the thing that struck out for me, that the guy was offside, and they were commenting on Sky how late the linesman put his flag up. But that's because the linesman then thought, oh no, but wait a minute. After the ball's gone through, that guy's stood in Julian's way. And there's one person been having a debate with me on Twitter saying, aye, but he didn't impede Julian that much. It's not how much he impeded him. The minute he became active in that move, which he did by touching Julian, The minute he becomes active in the move, his position when the ball becomes relevant, when the move starts, and his position was about 5 yards offside. But for some reason, people have been tweeting, I didn't listen to it, but for some reason, that's become a major talking point on Radio Scotland. Oh, it's fairly obvious that the guy was offside.
Yeah.
Because he then became active in the play by impeding Julian, or at least interacting with Julian. So, overall, happy with the win?
Happy with the win. It was weird. I had a thought while watching it that, you know, we should applaud Ross County for their pitch. Do you know what I mean? As if a good pitch shouldn't be the default. You know, we spend all our time shitting on, you know, the Livies and the Hamiltons for their joke parks. But it's weird how Motherwell have got a beautiful park these days.
Yeah.
You know, because Motherwell used to be, you look at the Henrik Larsson goal videos, the state of some of the parks that Motherwell used to have is just like hilarious. You couldn't imagine professional footballers playing on those bogs.
The only thing is, I watched highlights of the Wolves Braga game midweek in the Europa League programme. And funnily enough, I looked at that and thought, reminds me of the old Fir Park pitches.
Right. But so I was thinking Ross County deserve kudos for having grass on their pitch. But maybe we should be a little bit more, have higher standards. Maybe we shouldn't applaud that. It should just be what it is. But no, another good win and roll on Wednesday night.
Yeah, so Wednesday night we've got Hamilton at home. I've noticed about the changes that Lennon makes. There was an interview with him before or just after, I think it was just after Lazio game at home, where Lennon has said that Kennedy had been doing analysis of Celtic performances and other teams who play midweek weekend, and three changes is the maximum number of changes before you start to disproportionately lose points to a team. And I've noticed Lennon's made maybe two, three changes tops between games. You know, so today it was two changes with Frimpong and Rogic coming in. So what are you expecting for the Hamilton game? In terms of, we're playing at home to one of the poorest teams in Scotland, so with a cup final at the following weekend, so what's your expectation?
You'd want to go out and blitz it, you know, so you'd start strong. I'd be inclined to start Griffiths if Edward wasn't there. The back four, I think, picks itself, but then maybe you could say give Bauer a run out, you know, and just to rest Frimpong, because he is a kid.
Yeah, I did get a text from a couple of people today saying they thought that Frimpong, this was maybe his poorest game on a defensive side today.
That was always going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to give up on him after one game where he wasn't man of the match, you know, and he is going to get tested. You know, there is an argument to be had that, you know, he needs to play against better players and go up against harder challenges, but that's going to happen. I mean Hamilton are mince. I thought in the first half at times Brown hit some sloppy passes today, and I mean maybe it says something about me, but I'm always quick to see, you know, Brown running out of gas or something, and, you know, I start to assume the worst. And he proves me wrong time and time again, and he deserves applauded for that. But then I also think Beaton's a great player, and Beaton deserves minutes and a run out. So I'd happily rest Brown and play
Brown
Beaton.
Brown would be rested away to Cluj because he picked up, I think it was deliberate.
Oh, absolutely deliberate.
I thought, because there was a couple of bits earlier, and I thought, what are you doing? Deliberately, and then I got a text and something, and I realised, right, okay, he's trying to get himself suspended for the close game to wipe himself.
When the team sheet graphic came up at the start of the game and I saw there was two players in a yellow, I said, yeah, Brown's getting booked tonight. Yeah, that's, and he really was going out of his way to get booked. He was extremely petulant, or, you know, petulant theoretically. But he obviously played for it, and it, you know, worked like a charm. Hopefully none of us make enough noise, because I know Sergio Ramos has been done for this in the past.
That's right, yeah.
By admitting he'd done it, but I think Brown managed to keep it low profile enough that he'll get away with it, you know. He'll serve his suspension.
So what would your team be against Hamill?
I'd rest Brown. I don't even need Brown for a home game against the Yankees. Forster, Bauer, just to give Frimpong a rest before the cup final.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd fully intend playing him. Play Bauer, Julian Ayer, Taylor, Beaton, McGregor, Christie, Forrest, Johnston, Griffiths.
All right, and what's the score going to be?
5-0.
All right, okay. And then, because I need to go, so the podcast is a bit shorter than I was expecting. So quickly on to the cup final. So what's your team for the cup final going to be?
Forster, Frimpong, Ayer, Julian, Taylor, Brown, McGregor, Christie, Johnston, Forrest, and Edward, if he's there.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And the score?
5-0, same again. No. I don't know, no idea, but an easy one, comfortable one.
Excellent. Well, with that, Anthony Murray, I will say thanks very much.
All right, hail, hail.
Cheers.
See ya.
Bring me sunshine in your smile.
Well, if the rumours are to be true, we should be doing what the Soviets used to do and be playing summer music at the end of this. However, the rumours are probably not true, so if you don't know what the rumours are, you have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm not going to repeat them, because 99% of the rumours aren't true, because they never are. Anyway, if you don't know what I'm talking about, this will be lost on you. If you do, you'll by now know that they were not true. Anyway, not going to play summer music. Bring Me Sunshine's fine in the background. Hope you enjoyed the game. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Don't forget, we're right in the middle of the Celtic FC Foundation Christmas appeal. There is the bucket collection at the Hibs game on the 15th of November. If you want to participate in the assisting on that, go on and Google Celtic FC Foundation, get on the website, and you can volunteer to help with the bucket collection on that day. Anyway, enough of me. This is me, Harry Brady. That was him, Anthony Murray. It's me saying goodnight and God bless.
2 weeks brand new bright tomorrow make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love.